We'll call the Plan Commission meeting to order. Ask the clerk to read the roll.
Mike Polakoff. Michael Serpy.
Here.
Wayne Castle.
Here.
Deb Scarta.
Here.
Jim Bandura.
Here.
Judy Giuliana.
Here.
Bill Stobig is excused. John Skalbeck.
Here.
Brock Williamson.
Here.
Move to approve. Second.
I have none this evening. Could you pull the microphone a little closer to you?
Sure.
Thank you.
As a reminder to everybody, talk closer to the microphone so you have the problem. Is it on? I apologize for that.
Is it on?
That even helps even more.
Now I can hear you.
That's why you're the boss, Nathan. citizens' comments. Is there anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak on citizens' comments? Hearing none, we'll close that. New business. Consider approval of the discontinuance of 110th Street east of 116th Avenue. Gene?
Trustee Serpy and members of the Plan Commission, this is a meeting to consider the approval of the discontinuance of 110th Street east of 116th Avenue at the request of the adjacent property owners. Again, the Plan Commission this evening is going to make a recommendation on this matter, and the Village Board itself will be holding a public hearing on August 20th to take up the matter. On July 2nd, 2018, the Village Board adopted Resolution 18-23, to initiate the discontinuance of a portion of 110th Street. This is east of 116th Avenue, south of parcels 19 and 20 of CSM 1699. This is within the Lakeview West area of the Lakeview Corporate Park, and this is pursuant to section 66.1003 of the Wisconsin statutes. The slide shows this particular area. Again, it's just east of the premium outlets at 110th Street. This portion of 110th Street right-of-way proposed to be vacated is shown and legally described in the attached request and was dedicated originally by CSM 1699. It's being requested to be vacated by all abutting and adjacent property owners. Although this right-of-way was dedicated, roadway improvements were not constructed and are not intended or required to be installed for future development, nor have any municipal sewer or water been extended in this particular right-of-way. The land to the north and south do not require this roadway, and the land to the east has access via an existing driveway outside of the dedicated 110th Street right-of-way. However, an easement for the future expansion of public sanitary sewer shall be dedicated to the village on the western 20 feet of the right-of-way being vacated. So what we're talking about is there's a forest main in the east side of the 116th Avenue right-of-way, and it's going to be extended south towards the new development for State Line 94, so we do need to have an easement through that vacated right-of-way to get to the south. Upon vacation of this portion of 110th Street right-of-way, the vacated street will be transferred and attached to parcels 19 and 20 of CSM 1699, as further identified as tax parcel numbers 924-122-0302-0161, and 924-122-302-0162. And this is land that is owned, it's not technically owned by Breeze Terrace LLC anymore, is it? There's a new name, is Interstate Partners 2. I know that there has been a change because I saw the recording that came through. So it's the Breeze Terrace developers, they just have a different LLC name. The Village Board will hold the required public hearing regarding this request on August 20th, 2018. On July 18, 2018, all required property owners were notified via regular mail, and the required Class 3 notice was published in the Kenosha News on July 30th, August 6th, and August 13th to notify everyone of the public hearing to be held by the Village Board next Monday. With that, if there's any questions.
Comments or questions? What's your pleasure?
I move approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for a discontinuance of 110th Street east of 116th Avenue. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Item B, public hearing and consideration of a Plan Commission Resolution 1819 for comprehensive map amendment. Gene?
Trustee Serpy, members of the Plan Commission. This is consideration of Plan Commission Resolution 1819 for comprehensive plan amendments at the request of Fran Brzezinski, agent on behalf of Interstate Partners 2, WILLC, that's the correct name now, for the development of the proposed Breeze Terrace Apartments, generally located south of Corporate Drive and east of 116th Avenue. Specifically, the 2035 land use plan map is being amended as follows. The woodland area in the northeast corner and the wetland and floodplain area in the southeastern area of the site will be located within the primary environmental corridor, and the wetlands within this area will be located within the field delineated wetland land use designation. The other two wetland areas in the southwestern area of the site will be located within the park, recreation, and other open space with the field delineated wetland land use designations, and the location of the 100-year floodplain will remain unchanged. The remainder of the area will remain in the high-density residential land use designation, and the urban reserve designation will be removed. In addition, Appendix 10-3 of the Pleasant Prairie 2035 Comprehensive Plan will be updated to include all of these amendments. As indicated, the developers requesting approval of the Comprehensive Plan amendments for the proposed Breeze Terrace apartment development. Again, this is located just generally east of 116th Avenue and Corporate Drive. They are proposing three 33-unit apartment buildings and six 19-unit buildings for a total of 213 apartments with a clubhouse, and the plan is shown on the slide. There are four small wetlands totaling about 0.55 acre on the properties that have been field delineated as wetlands on April 21st, 2016 by Dave Meyer of Wetland and Waterway Consulting. The wetlands on the site will be preserved and protected. In addition, as shown on the tree survey, only a very small corner or portion of the trees within the primary environmental corridor are proposed to be removed to allow for the development. The woodlands that will remain is approximately 3 acres, the 100-year floodplain, 0.18 acre, on the eastern side of the site, again, also will be protected. There were some previous approvals on May 7th, 2018, the Village Board approved the following items, a comprehensive plan amendments, Ordinance 18-18, and this was to amend a portion of the Lakeview West Neighborhood Plan and to amend the 2035 Comprehensive Plan to change the land use plan from the freeway office commercial land use designation to the high density residential with an urban reserve land use designation. That would allow for the average lot area per dwelling unit to be lower than 6,200 square foot per dwelling unit for the following tax parcel numbers, 924-122-302-0161 and 924-122-302-0162. And this, again, is to accommodate the 213 multifamily apartments that we just spoke of. In addition, Appendix 10-3 of the plan was updated to reference the changes to the Land Use Plan Map 9.9. In addition, a conceptual plan was approved for the development of the 213 apartments with a clubhouse and associated parking and site improvements on 16.75 acres, and that's shown as the neighborhood plan amendment. The pending approvals, the first one we just discussed earlier this evening is the discontinuance or vacation of 110th Street right-of-way. Again, this is east of 116th Avenue. The public hearing regarding this matter will be held by the board next Monday on August 20th. The next item is the certified survey map and memorandum of understanding, and this is to combine properties, to dedicate additional right-of-way, and to dedicate easements for the development, and an agreement regarding the public improvements for the development, and the zoning map and text amendments. Again, primary zoning of the property will be that R11 multiple family residential district. There's a PUD plan unit development overlay district, and the wetlands will be placed are in the C1 district. Woodlands are being preserved in the C2 district, and the floodplain is going to remain in the FPO district. Comprehensive plan amendments, the resolution 18-19, the zoning map and comprehensive plan land use plan map are required to be consistent. Therefore, the following amendments to the Comprehensive Land Use Plan are required and being presented formally this evening. As indicated in the action item, the woodland area is being preserved in the northeast corner. The wetland floodplain area in the southeastern area will be within the primary environmental corridor, and the wetlands within the areas will be in the wetland land use designation. The other two wetland areas in the southwestern portion of the site will be placed in the park, and recreation, park recreation and other open space land use designation with the field delineated wetlands. Floodplains, 100-year floodplains will remain unchanged. The remainder of the properties will remain in that high-density residential land use designation, and the urban reserve area will be removed. So this is a matter for public hearing. Again, it's kind of the follow-up or the final aspects of what we need in order to, from the Plan Commission, in order to complete the planning and zoning entitlement process for the Plan Commission for this project. And there is a representative here, Fran Brzezinski, if you have any questions for him.
This is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? Fran, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing. Open up for comment. Gene, there is a number of conditions that the Plan Commission discussed, the Breeze Terrace. Have those been resolved?
They have all been resolved. We had a number of conversations the week of the Plan Commission meeting. We received some revised plans, which we have reviewed, and we put together a listing of comments and conditions. We reviewed all of them with his entire team, including engineers and everyone, this afternoon, and we have reached agreement on everything. We just have to get some final revisions to the tweaks to the plans, and we should be getting all of that, I think, by Wednesday, I think, that he indicated, so that everything will go to the Village Board on Monday, and then hopefully we can get a pre-con scheduled shortly thereafter.
Okay.
So just to clarify, so on slide six, it shows those still those patios on building A and B. Are those two that where you were talking about the tweaks?
Yes. So what we decided to do with respect to that is that they look like patios, and there will be gates from the exterior to those. There's actually three different buildings, two on the north end and then one that is on the east end of the site, and they'll be fenced in around the perimeter. Is 4 foot high fencing, and I actually have the materials in the other room, but there's aluminum fencing material that's going around that, and then there'll be landscaping on either side as well.
Okay.
They're still evaluating whether or not they want to actually connect that outside patio to the two units that are adjacent to it, but at this point they've not made that determination yet.
Okay.
So there'll be fencing and landscaping around those units.
Any other comments or questions? It's your pleasure.
Mr. Chairman, I recommend approval to the plan. Resolution 1819.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the Resolution 1819 for comprehensive map amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you. We've taken item C, D, E, and F all in one, two of which are public hearings, but we'll take comments on all four items. First one being a certified survey map. It's item C. Item D is a public hearing in consideration of the Plan Commission Resolution 1820. Item E is a public hearing in consideration for a zoning map amendment, and item F is a site and operational plan digital security system. Gene?
Trustee Serpy, members of the Plan Commission, for the record, I'm going to read all four items into the record. Item C, consider the request of John Shannon, attorney on behalf of Gar Farms, LLC, owner of the vacant property generally located north of 128th Street, and on behalf of the Village of Pleasant Prairie in the adjacent Village Recycling Center property for the approval of a certified survey map. And this is to subdivide the Gar Farms property into two parcels and for the dedication of right-of-way for Greenway Court to access the proposed prairie produce farm development as well as our recycling center. Item D, public hearing and consideration of the Plan Commission Resolution 18-20 for a comprehensive plan amendment. And this is at the request of Jim Hirschenbach of Prairie Produce Farm on behalf of the property owner Gar Farms, LLC. And this is related to the vacant property located north of 128th Street and northeast of the village's recycling center to develop that land as Prairie Produce Farm. Specifically, the 2035 land use plan map is proposed to be amended to place two northern wetland areas into isolated natural areas with field verified wetland land use designations and the southern wetland area into a secondary environmental corridor with a field verified wetlands designation, to place lot 2 of the CSM within the secondary environmental corridor land use designation, to place the non-wetland areas of Lot 1 of the proposed CSM into the agricultural land use designation, and to remove the urban reserve land use designation from the property. In addition, we'll be updating Appendix 10-3 of the village's 2035 comprehensive plan to include all these amendments. Item E is a public hearing and consideration of a zoning map amendment for the request of James Hirschenbach with Prairie Produce Farm on behalf of Gar Farms LLC. Again, this is specifically to rezone the three field delineated wetland areas into the C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District, to rezone Lot 2 of the proposed CSM within the C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, and to rezone the non-wetland areas of Lot 1 of the proposed CSM into the A2 General Agricultural District. No changes to the portions of the property that are zoned FPO or Floodplain Overlay District would occur. And F, also at the request of James Hirschenbach with Prairie Produce Farm, and this is for the approval for site and operational plans and the Digital Security Imaging System, or DSIS, agreement and DSIS access easement and a development agreement for the required public improvements. This is all for his development of a proposed Dutch-style hydroponic greenhouse to be known as Prairie Produce Farm, generally located north of 128th Street and northeast of our recycling center. As you indicated, these items are related and will be discussed at the same time. However, separate action for each of the items is required. The petitioner is requesting several final approvals of the Prairie Produce Farm development, including approval of the CSM, the comprehensive land use map amendment, the zoning map amendment, the development agreement, site and operational plans, including the required DSIS agreement and the DSIS access easement. With respect to some previous approvals, on December 4th, 2017, the board approved a comprehensive plan amendment, 1761, to amend a portion of the Green Hill Farm neighborhood plan and conditionally approved a master conceptual plan. And this is for the development of a 35-acre Dutch-style hydroponic greenhouse that will grow produce year-round on the vacant property generally located west of 122nd Street, which is also east of 88th Avenue, just north of the state line, on a portion of tax parcel number 924-122-322-0102 in the village. The certified survey map proposes to subdivide the property owned by Gar Farms, Inc. into two parcels. In addition, the CSM includes the village's property to the west so that the Greenway Court right-of-way extending north from 128th Street, terminating in a cul-de-sac at Lot 1 of said CSM, can be dedicated as public roadway to serve and provide the required public roadway frontage to each of the three lots. Lot 1 is proposed to be 54.406 acres and is intended to be purchased for the construction of Prairie Produce Farm, a two-phase hydroponic greenhouse development and associated Greenway Court public improvements. Lot 2 is proposed to be 10.679 acres and is intended to be retained by the property owner. This land could be developed with one single-family house. The lot is zoned C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, with the wetland area zoned C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District and the 100-year floodplain zoned FPO Floodplain Overlay District. Lot 3 is proposed to be 44.815 acres. It's intended to be retained by the village for the continued use as the village's residential recycling center. The comprehensive plan and zoning map amendments. Wetland delineation was completed on Lot 1 of the proposed CSM by Hay & Associates on August 25, 2017. As you can see on the slides, there were three wetland areas that were found along the east property line and north of the wooded area. The Wisconsin DNR has reviewed the report conducted on the site and provided a concurrence letter on November 27, 2017. The wetland areas will be rezoned into that C1 district. Non-wetland will be remaining in that A2 general ag district. The woodlands on Lot 2 will remain in the C2 district, and 100-year floodplain on Lots 1 and 2 will remain unchanged. The comprehensive land use plan will also be amended to reflect wetland designations. In addition, the land use plan will be amended to change the residential and neighborhood park land use designations on Lot 1 of the proposed CSM into an agricultural land use designation, and an urban reserve land use designation will be removed from the property since the land is not intended to be developed for urban residential purposes. Site and operational plans, DSIS agreement and access easement, and development agreement for associated public improvements. Lot 1 of the proposed CSM is intended to be sold and developed with a hydroponic greenhouse to be known as Prairie Produce Farm. I'm not sure if that's going to be the correct address we're talking to. I need to talk to Sandro about that. It will be 12327 or 12345. I need to talk to Sandro about that. But the address will be Greenway Court. So Greenway Court will be the new name for the street. Prairie Produce Farm will be the first state-of-the-art hydroponic greenhouse in Wisconsin, based on technology and business processes from the well-established sister companies DeFresco Produce and Sunrite Greenhouses in Kingsville and Leamington, Ontario, Canada. The property is proposed to be developed into two phases. Phase one proposes to include 17.1 acres of greenhouse or site development, including an attached 30,000 square foot support building that will include equipment, packaging line, storage, three loading docks, QA lab offices, and possibly a watchman's or caretaker's apartment. Phase one is proposed to be completed by the end of the year. Well, I think it might be a little longer. I think it might be next year, but the developer can address that. Phase two proposes an additional 19.5 acres of greenhouse site that would be constructed as soon as the market conditions allow, which is estimated in 2020. The produce is intended to be sold to local grocers, their distribution centers, and institutional suppliers. There will be no retail sales or outlet facilities operated from the farm site. The entire proposed facility requires water and minimal nutrients for the hydroponic grow systems, which is a closed loop system, no runoff. Natural gas is used for nighttime heating. Boiler CO2 exhaust is fed to the plants, and electricity, mostly to provide auxiliary grow lights. The primary byproducts are oxygen and composted plant trimmings. The facility will be able to produce top quality produce with one-third of the energy, one-fourth the nutrients, and one-tenth the water used by comparable field-grown produce. The first phase of the facility will employ 35 full-time employees that would work two shifts, sunrise to 3 o'clock p.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. to sunset 7 days a week. The office area will have one shift working 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Delivery hours will be 7 a.m. to 4 o'clock p.m., and the facility will not be open to the public except through scheduled appointments, tours, or presentations. The anticipated truck trips to and from the site is one, with a maximum of three. The site will provide for 61 on-site parking spaces and four handicapped accessible parking spaces. The owner and the workers will be respectful of the abutting residential neighborhood to the west as it relates to any noise or lighting. The greenhouse building, phase one, is proposed to be constructed of a flame-retardant, high-impact polycarbonate walls, which will be approximately 28 feet high. The 30,000-square-foot main building on the south side of the greenhouse will be an all-steel construction and will be approximately 32 feet high. This building will house the mechanical infrastructure, packaging, shipping, offices, break room, and bathrooms. The header house, located between the greenhouse and the main building, will have the identical construction as the greenhouse and will contain most of the hydroponic infrastructure, including the water tanks. Upon completion of the buildings, 31% of the site will remain in open space, or approximately 17.8 acres. A minimum of 25% of the site shall remain as open space. So they're greater than what's required. All site access for workers and deliveries will be from a new public road, Greenway Court, connecting to 128th Street, which is state line, to the south. It's also known as the village's access roadway to the recycling center southwest of the proposed greenhouse project. The public residential 128th Street in the Green Hill Farm subdivision will not be extended further east and will not provide commercial public access to the greenhouse project. Again, this is for the daily workers, deliveries, and so on and so forth. The village will require, however, that there be one gated emergency access point that's provided and maintained by Prairie Produce Farm. And as shown on the slide, it's the area that is circled in with a green circle, and you can see the gray connection to 122nd Street. So this gated emergency access point will be provided and maintained by Prairie Produce Farm. The gated emergency access will be 24 feet wide, and it will be a driveway extending south from the east end of 122nd Street through the village's recycling center property and then connect to the Prairie Produce Farm required fire lane on the west side of their building. This locked and gated entry will only be used in the event of an emergency. This access and the fire lane around the building will be required to be plowed and accessible year-round. A second access is being provided through an existing farm access easement located west of the existing Lakeview Corporate Park retention basin north of the property that connects to 116th Street. So if you look at the slide at the very north end of the property, there's another green circle, and it shows you that that there is a farm access that comes through that property to the north, which is adjacent to 116th Street, and then through and around and down and then through to this site. So this is a secondary emergency access, but it's not an access that's going to be plowed, and it's not going to be an access that can really support a fire truck, especially during the winter months. So it's just like a bonus or an a second emergency access. The existing tree line shall remain along the west property line as shown in their plans. In addition, some new 8 to 10-foot pines shall be planted along the west property line to screen the site. The detailed engineering and landscape plans shall show all existing trees to remain along the west property line, which they do now, and within the 122nd Street dedicated right-of-way area, and the new pine trees to be planted. Mr. Hirschenbach met with the adjacent landowners. They walked the property, and I have a landscape plan that he provided me today that shows where they would like those additional pine trees to be planted. In addition, ground-mounted mechanical units, transformers, shall be screened from view from adjacent residential property owners and shall not generate any noise that would constitute a nuisance to the abutting landowners. The proposed greenhouse use, which does not include any retail sales from the site, is a permitted use in the current A2 General Agricultural District. The DSIS shall be installed and maintained on the property pursuant to Chapter 410 of the Village Municipal Code. The DSIS will afford the opportunity for public safety departments, including police and fire and rescue departments, to visually examine the greenhouse and their site as needed and will provide emergency response personnel with a visual assessment of an emergency situation in advance of arrival without placing an undue burden on the village taxpayers. Attached that you have in the information that you have is the agreement and the access easement. And it just needs to be finalized prior to issuance of permits. In addition, municipal water will be extended to service the greenhouse from an existing water main north of the property. And then going back to the north, it's that water line services areas just south of the Lakeview Corporate Park, that industrial area. And it, in blue, it shows you where the water is being extended to the south, to the west, along their east property line, and then south a little further, and then into their building. The water main will be located under the 24-foot gravel driveway along the west side of the building so that the tree line along the property west, the west property line, is not damaged or removed, and so that additional pine trees can be planted. All public improvements are being made by the developer at the developer's expense. The village has prepared the attached development agreement, which outlines the developer's responsibilities and references exhibits, including the CSM, financial guarantee, final engineering plans, and other related documents for the installation of those improvements. The financial security shall be provided to ensure that the required public improvements are installed, and with some of the public improvements, for example, the street lights and the street trees, I think the way we've worked it out with the developer and Public Works is that they are depositing money with Public Works, for example, for the paving or the resurfacing on top of Greenway Court. Money is being provided to the village, and it's going to be included as part of the 2019 paving program. With respect to the streetlights, John Steinbrink Jr. has identified where the streetlights would be located, and the developer is paying the village money for those on account, cash on account, so that they can be installed when the road is resurfaced. And the same will apply for the street trees. The developer is doing his own construction with respect to the cul-de-sac turnaround that is being installed at the north end. So that's all going to be primed and ready for the asphalt overlays that will be installed by the village at his cost. Again, the village will coordinate streetlight installation and prepare the plans showing locations of streetlight fixture details. The developer will be installing the municipal water main, and they're going to be, they've submitted all of their plans. All of those plans are going to Kenosha Water Utility, and they will need to post a letter of credit, cash in deposit, or performance and payment bond to secure that. Those costs to be improved as well. The village is preparing a public street signage plan. Looks like we're going to have about three signs on this road, including a speed limit, no through street or dead end sign, as well as a street name sign. The sign costs and the installation costs will also be paid for by the developer. The adjacent lot 2 on the property is not going to be the recipient of any municipal water, so there's no water being extended at this time to that lot. And Mr. Hirschenbach has not asked for any type of right of recovery for the resurfacing, the street lighting, or street trees, or street signs on Greenway Court. So with that, that covers all of the projects, and Jim is here in the audience. If you'd like him to come up, answer any additional questions, and maybe Jim could come up and just address the schedule because it kind of slipped away from us and him this year.
He's going to tell us how 28-foot tall tomato plants are growing.
Our tomato plants grow 50 to 60 feet. name is James Hirschenbach, 1119377 Peterson Road in Libertyville, Illinois. I think the main question is where we are on timing. You cannot glaze in the winter, so we've missed our constructions for this year. So what we'd like to do is once we have everything settled, purchase the property, do the excavating, and get the foundations in before winter, and then be ready to start the erection in the early spring.
Okay. If we have, we're going to open up to public comments, and if they have any questions, we'll call you back. Thanks, Jim. Item D and E are public hearings, but we'll take comments on all four items. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody? Sir.
Hi, Steve Franklin, 8400 122nd Street. I'm at the dead end there on the east end. Just a couple questions. Obviously, I'm not skilled at reading these maps. I was at the December meeting, and has anything generally changed? Maybe we can just talk afterwards. Nothing, just timing. It's been the issue. And then, just curious, is all the surveying done? Okay. The other question I had was the emergency egress onto the property from 122nd. Is that going to be paved and plowed or no? Okay.
Jim, I need to have you come up.
To be both paved and plowed.
But it's going to have a gate across it.
Correct.
With a knock flock.
Emergency gate, standard emergency gate.
At the 122nd entrance or at the
roundabout? Going south. Right at 122nd.
So I would like to say I'm not terribly in favor of that, is that my driveway just goes right out to that. So to have an iron gate there, not something that I would necessarily like. I understand the need for the gate, but I also would respect that my house dumps right out into that
Gene,
area right there.
Gene, to answer that, I was looking at the drawings, and I believe
it's
the gate
south.
Is way south.
Yeah. Oh, so it's up the road.
Sorry, it is.
Yeah.
The pink, can you see where it says gate, and then there's pink right there? It is going to be further south. I forgot we had adjusted it.
Okay.
It's circling red now. Right at the property line.
Oh, the red circle over here.
Red circle with the...
On the rightmost picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right
okay.
There.
Yeah, that's better. Good. Okay, thank you.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearing and open up for the comments and questions. Gene, I have a couple questions. The access road to the recycling center, that has hours that start at 9 o'clock in the morning during the week and 7 o'clock on Saturday. The greenhouse is going to have
earlier
7 o'clock in the morning. So that may cause a little confusion with the recycling center, and I don't want people to pull in at 7, 7.30 in the morning, find it closed, and put all their debris and recycling in front of a closed gate.
So we talked about that with John Jr., and one is, and I can't recall, I looked at it over the weekend, but I think that there's hours posted on the sign that are hanging below. That's one thing. And then his gate will have to move. I mean, it'll have to move up and then towards the recycling center. So you can get up, but you can't get in. So then the person would have to come up, turn around, and go back out.
And one other question, maybe, is Matt, maybe, I don't know, has the entryway on Russell Road, the north shoulder, been looked at as far as a little paving to make it easier access to the recycling and to this facility?
I don't know if that's been looked at, although... That'll be part of the village's paving program. So well,
that's the Illinois Road.
That's the Illinois Road.
Yeah.
But where John ends his paving, be close to that. I don't know if John's actually talked to Illinois
okay.
regarding
We'll talk
that
to John on it. Okay. Right now, if you go to that site, the gravel is all over the road. And now we're going to have semis coming and going. It's going to be that much more difficult to keep that area somewhat neat.
I'll ask John.
Okay.
With him.
Thanks, Matt. All right, comments and questions from any other commissioners?
If I could just clarify, there aren't going to be any semis going in and out from Prairie Produce Farm. Might be a large box truck. 20-foot box truck, but there won't be any semis coming in and out for him.
How about deliveries coming in? Who's?
We don't need any deliveries.
This is an amazing facility.
Time.
28-foot high tomato plants too.
I want to see those.
Jim, go ahead.
Just a question to staff: the gated emergency access shows it a very short distance off of 122nd, and one of the other drawings shows it coming in south of the water hot water tank. Which one's correct? If you notice on that slide, it shows it.
On which slide, Jim? On this, the
this
far
slide,
right
yeah,
slide?
Yeah, this okay. slide is, it's coming for, it's looking up further north of the south part where the water tank is.
I don't know unless Jim can answer that question. I know that the far left photo and pictorial, that was from the original conceptual plan, and the far right one is...
There's been some debate whether you try to keep people from coming down the emergency road, especially late at night on weekends, things like that, or you put it up closer to, you know, for 126th Second Street to stop that, or you come on down and don't have the gate. To the side of the gate. And the way it settled was it's going to be closest to our property line, so all the way down.
No, I understand that portion of it. The where it's terminated, it's terminated more north than where your hot water tank is. It comes into the property there. The drawings that we have that I'm looking at shows it coming into the closer to the parking lot just south of the above ground hot water tank.
Actually, I do recall that change as well. The fire chief asked
Okay.
We could have it so that we don't dead-end into the building, as this shows here.
Yeah.
And that's what brought it further south.
Okay. Is he...
Oh, that one's not accurate. This is not
That is
accurate.
Not. It's been extended.
This is... So he's okay with... He'll be able to circulate around the building once he comes down there if he has
Correct.
To?
Correct. He said that would be better for his equipment.
Okay. Okay.
He also had us put a pumper station in at the same time. So if you don't see a pump station, then you know it's the old one.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got another question.
Rick.
So is this considered organic farming? Because I know you don't use pesticides. And
Actually, this is sensitive information, but the USDA does not give you organic certification if you do not grow in soil. But we consider soil dirty and requires us to use pesticides and other things that we don't use. So, but no, it is not organic. And what you're seeing now is more what they call transparent farming methods. You're supposed to identify, and this is one of the reasons why I think our expansion in phase two is going to come sooner than later. There's more people that want to see where their product's being grown and how it's being grown. And the transparent farm methods are having higher merit than organic farm methods.
Do you think they'll eventually have some kind of certification just for your type of farming?
It's hard to guess. I mean, this is obviously a multi-billion-dollar decisions on how this affects. For example, the most people consider organic pesticide-free, which is not at all true. Most organic produce has 2 to 4 times the amount of pesticide as non-organic produce because it's not as efficient and it's more applied more often and twice as much and just because it's what it takes. So it's really a very politically charged issue.
Thank you.
Jim, stick around there. You might be Wayne.
You have 2 operations in Canada.
Correct.
Is this going to be similar to those operations?
Very similar. The difference is there's obviously new techniques and new equipment that comes with every passing year, so this will be better in some ways.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, item C is the certified survey map. What's your pleasure?
Chairman, I recommend...
microphone, Jim.
I recommend approval for the certified survey map.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the certified survey map. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Item D is consideration of resolution 18-20 for comprehensive map amendment.
I'd move approval of the comprehensive plan amendment.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval of 18-20. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, the ayes have it. Item E is a consideration of the zoning map amendment.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the zoning map amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. And item F is the digital security imaging.
Move Chairman, to approve the site and operational plans and digital security system in agreement.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the site and operational plans and digital security. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the ayes have it. Thank you. Item G is a public hearing consideration for a zoning text amendment for the request of John Clemma with Michael Sines.
Item G is a public hearing in consideration of a zoning text amendment for the request of John Clemma of Michael Sines, agent for the owner for Wilcom Development LLP, to amend Chapter 420, Attachment 3, Appendix C. And this is specifically for the development plan for the Rocket Wash, Merlin Muffler, Martino's Dry Cleaning Planned Unit Development Ordinance. On June 11, 2018, the Plan Commission had conditionally approved site and operational plans, including a conditional use permit 1804 for the redevelopment of the Truesdale Plaza property located at 8531 and 8601 75th Street in the village, specifically the gas facility building, canopy and fueling stations and underground fuel tanks were removed, and a new rocket wash facility will be constructed. The existing western multi-tenant building on the site currently occupied by Merlin Muffler and Martino's Master Dry Cleaners will remain. On June 18, 2018, the board approved a zoning text amendment, Ordinance 18-31, to create the Rocket Wash Berlin Muffler Martino's Dry Cleaning Planned Unit Development Ordinance. At this time, the petitioner is requesting to modify or amend the PUD ordinance to allow for the total aggregated permitted background commercial advertising sign area for the Rocket Wash building to be increased from 150 square feet, and then, again, this is the entire building, to 205 square feet. This will allow for the installation of three wall signs on the building, one sign on the west elevation, one on the east elevation, and one on the north elevation. In addition, we'll be correcting a few typos in the PUD ordinance. So this is a matter for public hearing. We've taken a look at the signs that they are looking to put up. These are similar to what was installed up in Racine County in Mount Pleasant, I believe. And I think it's very similar, if not identical, to what's going up in the city of Kenosha for their facility. I think it's warranted. And they do have three frontages with people coming and going on Highway 50. So the staff recommends approval. However, this is a public hearing.
This is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak? Mike, anything to add? Anybody wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearing, open up the comments and questions from the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the PUD amendment as submitted.
Second.
Motion made and second for approval of the zoning text amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made and second to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Thank you.